WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's Friday night. Yuck, it's Friday night. 2 days away from the microphone, 2 days away from you guys. I'll do the best I can. That's all I can promise. I owe you guys an apology. I wasn't on the top of my game last night. I know that. And for that, I'm sorry. So we'll try a little harder tonight, and I don't think it's going to be very difficult for the simple reason that I'm up to my neck in stuff. Not the least of which is something that probably hasn't been widely reported on. I don't know if you've heard this or not. A little something happened in the financial markets. Now, I read it earlier in the day, and I went, no, this is not happening. A rumor swept the financial world today that South Korea had decided to sell all of its U.S. government bonds. Okay? Little bitty South Korea created a panic all over the financial world. And the... You know, the dollars in another one of those George W. Bong hit tailspins. And it's just astonishing. Commentary I have on it came from the paper Le Figaro. The Central Bank of South Korea absolutely turned the financial markets on their ears today. I hope you don't find that to be a boring notion, because it's actually rather terrifying, scary, spooky. Little bitty South Korea, someone suggesting that they were going to dump all their American bonds, you know, the bad paper that George Bush is hanging all over the world, scared everybody in the world to death. And if something like that should happen, do you have any idea what would happen to the American markets? Do you have any idea what would happen to the dollar? Now, Philippe Reclus writes in Le Figaro, far from having killed their old demons, trading rooms have in fact spent 2 months with their weapons loaded and at the ready while they waited to understand Bush administration declarations of intention on the political economic front. The pause is over. The feverishness currency traders have demonstrated the last few days with regard to the dollar confirms the end of the truce. The same phenomenon reveals their doubts about the White House commitment to restore order to an American economy that, with its abysmal budgetary and trade deficits, puts the equilibrium of the entire global economy in danger. Do you understand why the whole wide world despises George W. Roach Clip? See, it's not just America he stands to ruin. It's the whole sweet little blue-green marble hurtling through the universe. Everybody. Monsieur Reclus writes, at the moment, no other news appears to be capable of drawing the markets out of this obsession, not the transatlantic economy's tonus, which should push investors into massive dollar purchases, nor the progressive increase in interest rates offering a more generous remuneration on U.S. currency. So, in other words, the dollar's going down. It reached an all-time low against the euro. It's taken a whipping against the yen. And because of the way China manipulates its money, God only knows what it means against the yuan. So that little thing just sort of sat there. American economic policy is an elephant in the room that is, while we won't talk about it, everybody else is, and they're paying attention. What? Remember, return America to greatness. You know, that's what President Bong Hit said. There, for freedom. How free are we? Just a question. How free are we when the mere mention that South Korea would unload the bad paper that we've hung on it is enough to make our... Do you understand? That ought to scare you. Because, you see, the whole world, the financial market started shaking like an old hound passing a peach pit. And little bitty South Korea did it. Not by doing anything, just by mentioning doing it to us. Us, the U.S., the United States. The mice are beginning to roar, sunshine. And this old lion is looking like it's been bearded. You understand? And beyond that, there's cheating. If you're paying attention to the news today, we find out that, well, howdy-do and how about that? You know how Vioxx and Bextra were returned to the market by a vote of an advisory panel to the, what, Food and Drug Administration? Guess what? It took at least 10 votes from members of that panel with direct ties to lobbying for Merck and Pfizer for that to become reality. They have to cheat. These greed heads and corporatists have to cheat. They can't do anything on the up and up. They can't do it in the broad and lovely sunshine. They got to cheat. Why are you surprised? You remember the cheating and the wrangling and the dirty backroom dealing on the Medicare prescription drug bill? They had to cheat then too. They had to cheat in 2000 to get this little cokehead into the Oval Office. They cheat on the news. They pay Armstrong Williams and Maggie Gallagher and God knows who else to speak as truth to the American people, nothing but the shameless, nasty lies of a greed-headed administration run amok. They give us Jimmy Jeff Ganny Guck, whoever that manho is, with an apparent boyfriend in the administration who passes him information like the Valerie plane leak and tells him about shock and awe 4 hours before it begins. Do step back, won't you please, and ask yourself, what would be happening now if in the Clinton White House it had been reported that a prostitute had infiltrated the White House press corps and was receiving secrets from inside the administration? God, we spent $70 million on a girlfriend. What would the Republicans be willing to spend of your money on a hooker? And what is surprising is if you go and look at all these fundamentalist, freakazoid, antichrist, right-wing religion industry websites, like Focus on the Family and the Traditional Values Coalition, and, well, you know who they are. If you wander around, you will not find one word about Jimmy Jeff Ganny Guck, the male whore in the White House. Not a word. And I find that surprising because we're talking about a group that got its panties in a wad over a cartoon character, SpongeBob, that got absolutely bent out of shape over Buster Bunny, and has issued advisories to American families about Shrek. Meanwhile, a male prostitute, I'm not kidding, a male prostitute, comes in and out of the White House at will, and they don't have a word to say about it. And that kind of surprises me because they're into all this millennialist garbage and this rapture foolishness. And it's only a couple of a consonant and a vowel off from what they're one of those quotes that they're constantly hauling out of the Bible somewhere about wars and rumors of wars. Is it possible it could have been a mistranslation? Maybe this whole apocalyptic bugaboo is predicated on whores and rumors of whores? Jimmy Jeff? Ganyguk? Is that possible? And yet, if you listen for the moral outrage about prostitution inside the White House, which, curiously, is illegal, you'll listen for a long time and you'll hear nothing but crickets. And this is just the surface of what's out there today. Cheating across the board. Why? One name, Luntz, L-U-N-T-Z, Frank Luntz. The Way Forward. Took time to read it today. It's about 160 pages. You can get it in an Adobe Acrobat format in a zip file at dailykos, dailykos.com. Read it. As one emailer put it in writing to me about it, what they say is, we've been lying all along. Lying appears to work. Why stop lying? This is Mr. Luntz's big strategy document for the 2006 Republican off-year elections, and it advocates more lying. Mr. Luntz doesn't like the fact that it's out there, by the way. We've caught them again. Is it CBS?
Yeah. Liberal media?
Nope. Beep. Not a peep. Crickets. NBC? Crickets. ABC? Crickets. But you can read it for yourself. DailyKos.com. And it's the master plan. Cheat and lie, and you can do anything you want to. Oh, mercy, we've got stuff to do tonight. The phone number, of course, is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. We've got to take a little break. When we come back, your calls, more stuff. God knows there's more stuff. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You asked for it, Beckley, and L&S Toyota's giving it to you. L&S Toyota is rolling over triple rebates. It's L&S Toyota. Triple your rebate sale. Only L&S Toyota dares to match factory rebates with dealer incentives to give you triple rebates. Up to $3,750. Triple your rebates on new Toyota Corollas, Camrys, Tacomas, Hundreds, and more. Triple rebates on every new Toyota up to $3,750. That's right. Triple your rebates on all 2005 models. Plus, over 30 Toyota certified used vehicles are available with 3.9% APR finance. And get a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty with roadside assistance and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. Triple your rebate sales. Triple your savings. Now through Monday at L&S Toyota. 300 World Lakers Drive in Beckley.
On select models with approved credit. Limited term financing. Triple rebates. Exclude college grad rebate. Dealer rebate. All rebates. 7 centers. 37 rebate at 0500. Ends 2/20 to 5.
Do you forget the names of the people you met last week? Even the people you met last night? How would you like to be able to walk into a room, meet 50 people or more, and recall all their names instantly? I'm America's memory master, Matthew Gerk, and I'll show you how to do it in the Memory Switch System, the fast, easy memory improvement technology for busy people who are embarrassed by their bad memory. In the Memory Switch, I'll show you how to recall names, dates, facts, figures, numbers, even business and technical data in a split second, and remember it for years. I'll show you how to lock information you see, hear, and read into your memory so you can recall it right when you need it for as long as you need it. Give me just one short hour, and I'll help you improve your memory so dramatically people will notice. Call now and try the Memory Switch risk-free for 30 days. 1-800-634-7380. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-634-7380. 1-800-634-7380.
ice melting. When ice melts inside a refrigerator, bacteria can grow, spoiling food and medicine, and creating the possibility for disease and even death. Refrigeration installation and maintenance must be done right the first time. There is no margin for error. That is why it's important that refrigeration work be done by trained union workers. Union refrigeration fitters must serve a 5-year apprenticeship, which includes 10,000 hours of training, and continue to upgrade their skills throughout their working lives. Take no chances with food and medicine safety. Do the job right the first time with Union Pipe Workers, members of the United Association, the Plumbers, Pipe Fitters, and Sprinkler Fitters Union.
A message from the West Virginia Pipe Trades. For employment opportunities, call 304-346-2558.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 21 minutes after 7 o'clock. Like I said, lots of stuff on the plate tonight. At some point, I think we should chat on a West Virginia level about this moron, John Overington. I mentioned him briefly last night, who is hell-bent on getting to kill people in the name of the state. And I do mean hell-bent, by the way. But what's more disconcerting is that a Democrat, or at least an erstwhile one, from Raleigh County, has decided to jump on the blood and murder express. Now, this thing's locked up in committee. It's probably not going to get out. But when somebody comes out and says, I want to kill some more people. I want to kill. I want to kill. 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 I want to see dead, burnt bodies and veins in my teeth. And I want to kill. There's cause for alarm. And according to the Associated Press story I'm looking at here, Delegate Ron Thompson, a Raleigh County Democrat, whom I suspect of being a Dino, Democrat in name only, says he supports reinstating the death penalty for harsh crimes, including the murder of children and drug-related incidents, but the courts must ensure that no innocent people would be put to death. Thank you. There is no way that the courts can ensure or guarantee or make relatively certain that no innocent people will be put to death. Therefore, no death penalty. Thanks, Ron. Cool. To the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Good evening. Yes, indeed.
Whether pigs have wings, and I can tell you one thing right now. If George and Laura's trip overseas this past week was a flying success, then you'll see pork in the treetops at sunrise.
Yes, indeed. Well, did you hear the latest? I just caught this late last night. The Slovakian faux pas?
No, but I heard on the BBC this morning where after Bush left, London said that he was nothing more than a pariah.
Well, he is that. He's scaring.
I mean, it didn't change their minds, did he?
No, but apparently in civilized Slovakian society, Jim, when you meet someone of equal stature, someone for whom one would display respect or regard, say, you know, a host, it is considered the highest form of insult to not shake hands barehanded.
Right.
So what did the Bushes do?
Barehanded.
No. You're supposed to shake hands barehanded.
But they
kept
gloved it.
They kept their gloves on.
Well, that's kind of like showing an Arab the soles of your feet.
Yeah, I guess George and Laura were having safe shakes.
I don't know.
Oh, come on, at least a laugh, Jim. I mean,
Okay. Har.
Safe shakes.
Tell you what. You meet me at the workshop at Shoemaker Square. I'll be the one who'll be wearing the black cape with a red lining. What's your blood type?
I'll never tell.
I see. No, but the thing that really got me was his meeting with Putin when he came out.
Oh, the wink?
Yeah. Well, you know, and the wink and
nudge, wink, wink.
Now he must have had a mandate.
Yep.
But I'll tell you one thing: that man that he had a date with is nothing to fool with, because that guy used to work in what was called the tallest building in Moscow, the Lubyanka, because from its basement you could either see Siberia or eternity.
That's true.
And, you know, I don't know what that deal was all about, but, you know, those people over there aren't
but look,
I mean, his foolishness.
Vladimir Putin comes from Murder Incorporated spelled with Cyrillic script. Bush comes from Murder Incorporated spelled in Roman script.
Well,
there's no difference.
They're ideally suited. I mean, look at his record as governor and look at the number of men that Putin probably signed a death warrant on one way or the other, or perhaps maybe even led some to the cellars himself and blown the back of their brains out with his pistol. Who knows?
Well, some people have a taste for that.
I mean, you don't rise to any position or didn't rise to any type of formership to form of leadership in the KGB by being squeamish.
No. You rose on ruthlessness and a brutal dedication to the accomplishment of your political ends.
That's it. You got it. But anyway, I think that whole, when I think of Air Force One, I think it costs $750,000 an hour to operate it. That's what it costs the American taxpayer. And for what did they accomplish, and for some of the stuff he said, I think you can just, that trip you could even count out as a wash.
Yeah, I'm coming to the point where I think if you're really going to have a separation and a balance of powers in American government, every nickel the White House wants to spend, they should have to go on hands and knees to the Congress to beg for, if of course we had a Congress.
Did he do anything else over there to distinguish himself or embarrass himself?
I fell out on the floor when I read the handshake business. I mean, again, this is a... What is the White House budget, Jim?
It's considerable.
I mean, billions with a B, probably?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, and that's what you know about.
Yeah, and we don't have one human being who can teach the poor simpering fool how to say nuclear.
Or moolah.
Or mullah, or for that matter, teach him to take his stinking gloves off when shaking hands with Slovakian leaders because it's a matter of protocol.
Now, I heard one of your right-wingers earlier today say that he did moolah on purpose the way his father did Saddam with Saddam.
Well, see, I suggested that last night.
Okay. But, you know, I mean, was he talking about, I mean, at first I thought he was he talking about money? Because that's what Elvira calls money.
Mm-hmm.
And then there used to be this old 95-year-old wrestler, I think she's still around, named the Fabulous Moolah.
Right.
With her companion.
And then
and
maybe...
they were a sight to behold in tight.
And could it be a halfway screwed-up version of the old Harvard fight song or Yale, whichever one that is?
I don't know, but I don't think Cole Porter wrote that one.
No, but you know what I'm talking about. Bula Bula?
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. I don't know what it meant, but, I mean, it was an absolute insult to every Muslim cleric in the entire Muslim world, and I don't understand why this man is doing this stuff.
Because he's a hateful little blood pimp, Jim. I mean, sometimes I think we look for too much motivation. Sometimes I think we look for too much cerebration, when in fact he's just hateful.
Why isn't he in the hospital with a tracheotomy instead of a man like John Paul II?
Well,
that's what I ask myself and I ask God.
Well, the thing is, though, I saw a video clip of him today answering a question from a real member of the press. The guy happened to be speaking Russian, so they had to translate for him. But he was speaking in that halting, delayed form where you know he's receiving transmissions.
Something through his right earpiece.
Correct.
Or it's some other portion of his anatomy.
It's just a shame. It's just a shame to the entire American nation. He embarrasses us every time he gets out of bed in the morning.
Well, you know, there's one White House reporter, and I have it, David Gregory.
Uh-huh.
And David Gregory speaks French fluently. And they had a White House press corps to do, and Gregory answered one of the people who was there from France in French. And Bush just horned in on it and said, "Hey, wait a minute now. I can speak that Spanish good, too."
Oh, I know.
I thought to myself, "Aw,
thank you.
Did you have to say that, George?"
Yeah, even if you don't like him, you know, please, just don't embarrass us. But then again, you know, we're worrying about him saying nuclear when he's killed a tenth of a million people deliberately. You know, maybe it's our priorities that are screwed up. I think it was at that very same meeting, Jim, where he leaned over to I think maybe it was Jose Maria Aznar and said, "You know the problem with the French language? They ain't got no word for entrepreneur."
Oh, nothing, he said, surprised Steve. But what struck me as being a very interesting remark was about were those of the Belgian Prime Minister, who told him, he said, you know, we have a lot to learn from you. And, you know, we saw how efficiently your Articles of Confederation operated. And then you got together and had a real government with your Constitution. And he said, that's what we're going to have to do with the United States of Europe. And he put Bush on notice. He said, one day you will be dealing with a truly unified Europe. You notice that?
Mm-hmm. I did.
And I thought to myself, uh-huh, good.
Yeah, that I'm sure that went, you know. Then again, we don't even know if he understood that.
Yeah, well, it probably passed right over his head, but I'm sure he has somebody back brief him on what the remark may have meant.
I'm getting to the point, Jim, where I'm not even sure of that. I mean, if they can't back brief him on nuclear, they're not going to explain the Articles of Confederation and why they failed. I mean, that's old America. Just like, you know, France is old Europe.
True. Well, there it is, and there you have it.
Yeah, one of these, you know, I don't feel like we're getting our money's worth. I don't care how many billions we're pumping into the White House budget if we can't afford one human being who knows how to pronounce nuclear.
And now, of course, Condoleezza Rice is being extolled as the passion plate.
Oh, God, I know.
I mean, you know, she apparently was perceived during her trip over there as looking very actors away in her black suit with the gold buttons. And I thought to myself, my Lord, well, she ought to just go ahead and wear the Public Health Service officer's uniform.
Well, that or, you know, go ahead and affix a little bit of braid and a couple of Reich Eagles, and, you know, we're there.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you know where he met her, don't you?
No.
George Shultz.
Well, she worked for Shultz.
Yeah, she was the provost marshal at Stanford.
Right.
And he met her when he was out visiting Shultz, and I'm not sure what she did. Do you know what she did for Shultz?
I know she interned in the State Department and rose up through the ranks starting about like 1976, 78, something like that.
So she's been around a long time.
Yeah, around long enough to get a tanker named after her, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I guess that's a long time.
The Chevron Condoleezza or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, Shultz and Bechtel, they're out there in the Bay Area, as is Stanford University. That all makes sense.
Well,
but you got to love a woman who refers to George Bush as my husband or the president.
Well, come again.
Oh, you didn't know? You didn't know that?
No.
Oh yeah, it was some months back, but she was talking about some briefing or conversation, she said, as I was saying to my husband, or the president.
She actually said that.
My hand to God. Yes.
You know, that's got to be one convoluted bunch of people.
Oh,
I mean, between that, the man-ho, as you referred to him as, and then, of course, her... You know, the sexual arithmetic of the White House is, you know, it must be on base 16, the number system.
It reminds me of those old comedies in the English manor houses where people are coming in and out of bedroom doors. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's got to be like that. You know, how did Laura feel about having her, my husband, or the president?
Well, you know, whenever he goes to Crawford, she's always with him. Condoleezza is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as if, you know, he simply cannot be without her constant good counsel and advice.
I like to think of him crooning to her, you know, Condoleezza. No, we won't.
No, I don't think so. I'll tell you the truth. You know, that's ugly. That's really ugly.
Yes, it is, and it's a cruel play on the life and works of Nat King Cole. Shame on me.
But I'll tell you one thing. With Mr. Putin, you know, you just can't have these types of chalk and books and long-lost looks at each other, because that man's a killer. He's dangerous.
Yeah, he is.
If people want to think that Russia is not a power to be dealt with, if they are just down and out, let me tell you something, Bob. They've got a nuclear redundant system is unsurpassed in about anything we have.
Well, they've actually got that thing they were talking about in Dr. Strangelove, right?
7,000 warheads can be fired, but not a human soul living.
And there, and there certainly won't be any living thereafter.
No. I mean, you know, I don't know. And Putin, when he took the power away from the people to elect those provincial governors within his country, and now that power has retreated into the walls of the Kremlin. You know, what goes in the walls of the Kremlin never comes back out.
No, it doesn't.
Historically. So, I mean, that ought to tell you something. I mean, he can say he's marching toward democracy, but I don't think so.
Well, if he's marching toward democracy, it's right. It's because democracy's right behind him, and he's going to have to go all the way around the world to get to it.
Like I say, my friend, there'll be pork in the treetops in the morning, so look out your window and see if you can get a few pork chops, but I don't think you'll see them.
I don't either. Thanks, Jim.
You will.
Appreciate it.
Out here.
Okay, break time. A little late getting to it, so what? You'll get over it, so will I. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The state fire marshal's office has now been called in to investigate a fire in Fayette County. The fire broke out at a house on Rock Lick School Road in Minden just before 9 o'clock last night. Crews from the Oak Hill Fire Department responded with assistance from Fayetteville, but the house was a total loss. No one was at home at the time. There were no injuries. Cause of the fire is not known, but firefighters say it is definitely suspicious. Also, the state fire marshal's office has ruled out arson as the cause of a fatal house fire in Richwood this week. The fire started at around 4 o'clock Tuesday morning at a house on Boggs Avenue. A body was then found in the charred remains at around 12 hours later. Kim O'Brien, a spokeswoman for the state fire marshal, says a preliminary investigation shows that the fire does not appear to be suspicious. The state medical examiner's office has still not positively identified the body of the adult male victim. Since the start of 2005, 29 people have died in 24 fires in West Virginia alone. Beckley police were able to keep a man from committing suicide yesterday afternoon. Corporal William Ray and Patrolman Seneca Webb were dispatched to Kroger at the Beckley Crossing just before 4 o'clock. When they arrived, they found Norman Dodson of Sophia sitting on a dumpster behind Kroger, holding a utility knife to his throat and threatening to kill himself. Lieutenant Wes Bowden arrived, and the three officers talked to Dodson, while Patrolman Will Reynolds snuck behind him. Reynolds and Bowden grabbed his arms, and Webb took the knife from him. He says at no time did Dodson threaten violence toward the policeman. Dodson was then taken to Beckley Appalachian Regional. No one was injured in yesterday's incident. That's the news. The forecast for tonight, partly cloudy and cold. There's also a chance of some light snow showers late tonight with a low near 25. Tomorrow and Sunday both at this point look to be partly cloudy with temperatures in the upper 30s to around 40. There could be some serious weather conditions developing, a winter storm or a winter storm watch on Sunday evening. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says he's open to changing the role of the Labor Federation to achieve growth, but unity must be preserved and democratic rights of union members must be honored. And he says he doesn't want SEIU President Andy Stern to leave.
Of course, I want Andy Stern to stay in the AFL-CIO. I'm a member of SEIU, as you know, and I think that many of the proposals that Andy Stern has made are very good proposals and have to be seriously addressed.
Stern has advocated reforming the AFL-CIO and has threatened to leave unless those reforms are done. Sweeney says AFL-CIO unions have organized hundreds of thousands of new members under his leadership, but job losses have prevented labor from increasing its overall percentage of the workforce. Democratic National Committee Chair Howard Dean will be at the AFL-CIO's Las Vegas meeting. Sweeney says Dean will be an effective advocate for working families in his new role. Sweeney says the AFL-CIO will launch an offensive for good jobs. A major campaign is underway to organize Walmart, and labor plans to expand its political mobilization and media outreach.
On Wednesday, the Workers' Independent News had the opportunity to talk with author and activist Anthony Arnove, co-editor with Howard Zinn on the book Voices of a People's History of the United States. Arnove, a member of the National Writers Union and the United Association for Labor Education, spoke about the book, the lessons it has for the future of labor, and why it is important to not forget the struggle of working men and women throughout the history of the United States.
People talk as if the United States is a classless society, but it certainly isn't now, and it never has been one. And so we look at a number of these documents, Janora Johnson Dollinger describing the sit-down strikes in Flint, Michigan, and we should recall, you know, at the time, people said it would be impossible to organize auto, just as we now hear today people saying it would be impossible to organize Walmart. And I think there's some lessons to be drawn from people who really made tremendous sacrifices, had great courage, had great creativity.
To hear more from this interview, visit the Labor Radio website.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Prison labor in the U.S. generates billions of dollars in sales annually while paying inmate workers as little as 20 cents an hour. J.C. Penney and Eddie Bauer have had jeans made by prisoners. Ohio prisoners produced parts for Honda cars. Prison workers in Oregon have made uniforms for McDonald's. Inmates in South Carolina made lingerie for Victoria's Secret. U.S. Senator Craig Thomas said in April of 2004 that it's ironic that offshoring of jobs is such a big issue when good-paying American jobs are also being lost to government prison labor programs. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Shifting gears now. Our buddy Chris from the Mansell Report sent this one in. I desperately want this to be, I want this to not be real. I want this to be from The Onion or some other parody website. The product of someone's fertile imagination, who has way too much time on their hands, but guess what? It's not. It's from the Associated Press. Dateline Atlanta, February 25th. Now, remember, do you remember when Homeland Secretary Director Tom Ridge said that we should all go out and buy plastic sheeting and duct tape? Because plastic sheeting and duct tape had the amazing, absolutely miraculous properties of being able to stop biological agents and poison gases and better, this was the best part, nuclear radiation. You remember that? Everybody go out and buy your the sheeting and duct tape. You remember that? And do you remember the craze that went down? And do you remember how all the big box stores were reporting that suddenly they were out of duct tape and plastic sheeting? I know you do. I mean, this man made a fool of himself, but guess what? Some people said Tom Ridge was crazy. Sunshine, these people don't do anything unless there's a prospect of money in it. Let us all now pause to receive the sacrament and the holy noise. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Folding money. They don't do anything if there's not a buck involved. Come on. Dateline Atlanta. Tom Ridge, the former Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security and former Governor of Pennsylvania, was named to the Home Depot's Board of Directors. The home improvement retailer announced on Thursday. Tom Ridge served his country with great distinction, and we are honored to have him join our board, where we expect that his unique global experience and perspective in duct tape and plastic sheeting will make a profound contribution to our company and our shareholders, said Bob Nardelli, chairman, president, and CEO. Hey, I need another harumph! Like I said, it doesn't happen if there's not going to be money involved with it. Oh, yeah, you couldn't get duct tape and plastic sheeting at Home Depot. I don't know. Maybe they'll go for the name change now. Homeland Depot. Lowe's ran out too. I expect him to be on the board there in a fortnight. I like that word, fortnight. And leagues. Business news site MarketWatch. You know, we get MarketWatch here. Reported that Home Depot even set up special Homeland Security displays that pushed sales of duct tape and plastic sheeting, along with batteries and bottled water. Cheating, 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 cheating. Go and read the Luntz memo, the Frank Luntz memo, The Way Forward. It's 160 pages. I didn't print it. I got to confess. I just read it and went, well, I'll be damned. All this time I thought, no, they're not so brazen as to... Yeah, they lie, they cheat, and they, if you read the memo, dailycost.com has it. It's been scanned in. You'll have to be able to unzip it. Most everybody under the sun now has the zip software. Read it. Read what a bunch of dirty, lying, filthy, cheating crooks these damnable Republicans are. And here's one more example of it. The appointment of Ridge brings the number of directors on the Home Depot board to 13. This includes 12 outside directors, 11 of whom are independent. Yeah, independent. This stuff takes your breath away. Of course, then again, you know, I'm sure that you know, the right-wing nuts are out there going, well, of course. He's allowed to make money once he leaves the government service. No. You're going at it backwards. He made them the money. Now they're going to reward him with money. The Homeland Security Depot. Meanwhile, I mean, just so you'll know what kind of classy outfit ex-Rethuglican, Repiglican cabinet secretaries run with, Home Depot ignored Alan R. Sporn for almost 2 years. Now, Alan Sporn is a fellow out in California. Alan Sporn very seldom, if ever, does business with the Homeland Depot. Well, that doesn't matter. Sporn was a victim of identity theft, as many more Californians will be soon, now that good Republican operative Choice Point has released the names of 140,000 Americans, some 35,000 to 70,000 of them Californians, to organized crime, hucksters, criminals, and that ilk. But anyway, Alan Sporn was a victim of identity theft. And what happened was Home Depot ran time after time after time after time credit requests or requests for Alan Sporn's credit history. Now, the wonderful world of credit reporting and data mining is complicated, to say the least. But the basic rule of thumb is every time someone requests your credit history, it affects your credit score, and it makes you a higher credit risk. Alan Sporn never applied for a Home Depot credit card. Never, ever, ever. But Home Depot, despite being warned that Alan Sporn's identity had been stolen, requested and requested and requested and requested and pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled his credit history. Alan Sporn got even. No, he didn't get the clown suit and the rifle and climb the bell tower. No, he got Home Depot's attention the only way you get corporate America's attention. He did what George W. Bonghit hates to see happen. He sued Home Depot. And Home Depot continued to ignore him. And they waited 6 months for an answer to their lawsuit. No answer was filed. They went to the court. They said, Your Honor, they've had a fair chance to answer our complaint. It's been served on them. We want judgment. And we want it for $1 million. And the judge said, You got it. And awarded Mr. Sporn judgment for $1 million. So what happened? Well, suddenly, Mr. Sporn had all the attention of Home Depot he could possibly deal with. And they quickly filed an appeal and said, That consumer's being mean to us! He wants $1 million for us, and all we did was ruin his credit! Because the judge had ruled that Mr. Sporn suffered losses by virtue of being forced to pay a higher interest rate on his home loan, and his damaged credit rating hurt his business reputation. And they also gave him 10% interest per annum on the debt. And they waited, honestly, they waited 7 months expecting Home Depot to do something, and they didn't. So they got their judgment, they contacted the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and seized Home Depot's bank accounts. Oh, God, that's sweet. So what did Home Depot do? You know, literally, they cried to the court that Sporn was cheating. They said he obtained by stealth the excessive default judgment, which the company discovered only when Sporn began enforcement efforts after laying in the weeds for many months. Fortunately, the appeals court disagreed. They said the court said the company was trying to escape the results of its own carelessness. And the judge, who really wasn't buying it from Home Depot, said, There is no statement that the court papers sent to Home Depot were lost, stolen, forwarded to the wrong person, or eaten by the dog. And what Mr. Sporn's lawyer said was, A corporation doesn't have skin and blood. The only way you get their attention is with the sting of the dollar. So there you go. Home Depot, upstanding people who run around screwing with other people's credit, ruining people's business reputations, and completely in line with all of that, what did they do? They've just hired Tom Ridge to sit on their board of directors. Oh, there are nights I think I need a bucket by me here. These guys just make me want to gag. I mean, whatever happened to the... I know, it's a fancy phrase. Whatever happened to the appearance of impropriety and the fact that one should avoid it? You know, once upon a time, I think I even heard George W. Bonghit say, I don't want people to even have the appearance of improper-nitiness. Yeah, he did say that. And, of course, it's all for naught. Oh, mercy. But, of course, that is the appearance of impropriety, isn't it? A man goes out and tells America to buy plastic sheeting and duct tape. And Home Depot puts up displays of plastic sheeting and duct tape. And Homeland Security says, buy this. And they reap huge profits. They have massive sales in sheeting and duct tape. And no sooner is this man out of government than, bang, he's on the gravy train with Home Depot. Do you ever just... I think our collective gag reflex has been... Even on my side of the debate, our sense of horror and outrage has been replaced with a sense of... Well, they're doing it again. There's no shame to them. There's no stopping them. And we're... Because it doesn't... You think this is going to get any treatment on Dateline NBC or 60 Minutes? Hell no. You'll never hear of that again. You will never hear of it again. It'll go down the memory hole and be gone. But is this just business as usual? It's enough to curl your hair. And all brought to you under the good graces of a guy who spent his youth, his adulthood, a significant chunk of it, getting high, snorting coke, getting drunk, and got to be president of the United States of America. Brother. I would be very happy if I found out the Homeland Security story wasn't real. But it is. Because in George Bush's bong world, it's all okay as long as the rich people are doing it. Right? Right. Listen, we got to do some news. Then we'll come back after that. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
So, Bogart that joint, my friend, pass it over to me. Don't Bogart that joint, my friend, pass it over to me. Roll another one, just like the other one. You've been hanging on to it, and I sure would like a hit. Don't Bogart that joint, my friend, pass it over to me. Don't Bogart that joint, my friend, pass it over to me.
Head On.
In Sweetwater, a college student teaches swimming at the Y.
In Woodsboro, an iron worker builds a home with Habitat for Humanity.
In Detroit, a dental hygienist helps clean up a state park.
In Seattle, a commercial fisherman joins the Naval Reserve.
People across America are giving back to their community and their country. The Naval Reserve is proud to include these individuals among our ranks. Together, we will build a better world. Call 1-800-USA-USNR or go to NavalReserve.com. Naval Reserve, stay strong.
And we go live now to Andy in the Air and our traffic chopper with today's traffic report.
Thanks, Todd. Traffic is moving smoothly eastbound on Route 1. No delays there. Moderate congestion at exit 17 northbound on the parkway. Expect a 15-minute delay. And there are heavy, heavy delays on the southbound throughway between exit 2 and exit 8 near the shopping center.
Can you see what's going on down there, Andy?
Well, there looks to be an overturned, oversized belly in the right lane. Extremely large, blocking all traffic.
I'm sorry, I don't have a great connection here. Did you say belly?
That's right, Todd, and a rather large one at that. It looks as if someone lost it from walking across the shopping center parking lot to the stores.
Well, there you have it. Heavy congestion due to a heavy belly. Stay tuned for another belly update at the top of the hour.
Small step number 43. Park further from the store and walk. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the top. It's 8 o'clock.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Okay, hour number two on a Friday night. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. I don't know. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. You're, of course, also free to listen live on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And you can go through that site to my site, headonradio.com. You can send email. You can jump in and fuss and fight and carry on the message boards. Knock yourself out. We also have email that comes straight into the studio here. That's wwnr@netphase.net. It even works sometimes, which is really cool. But as I said, I don't know. We may have a caller from south of the border. Jose,
si.
¿Cómo está, mi amigo?
Español.
Yeah.
The duct tape is helping out on thievery. Put it over locks. It's helped out a lot. The gray stuff. Gray area.
It is a gray area.
Problem started, Bob, World War One, and they came out of the trenches in World War Two with Hitler, and he wanted to get rid of the Jews, God's people, and Jehovah's Witnesses.
And gypsies and homosexuals, just not lesbians.
All kinds of people. And he was baptized, Roman Catholic.
Hitler was, you're absolutely right.
So that stems to a lot of the problems.
No, because he had a falling out with the Roman Catholic Church.
He did?
Yes, he did. And in fact, a large number of the quotes to talk about from him, from his speeches, talk about his falling out with the church, but the fact that he felt he remained a very staunch Christian.
But he still never was excommunicated.
No, not to my knowledge.
Yes. So, I was just telling you that we're in the Telos, and all these problems stem back to World War One. And
how so? You can make a very compelling argument for that. The problems we have in the Middle East.
Yes.
Stem from the fact that we stabbed a whole lot of Arab freedom fighters in the back.
Well, see, it's all a religious war, like in Vietnam during the 60s.
Vietnam was a religious war?
Yeah, it started with the Catholic and the Buddhist, you know, over there. One didn't like each other ruling, and so the American people were swayed through the church to come in there and protect the Catholics' interests in Vietnam. And you know about Ireland and...
Yeah, for every religious freak on one side, there's another religious freak on the other, more than willing to kill in the name of a pacifistic brown-skinned guy from Palestine.
So, to me, I think religion's is the culprit behind most of all your evil things. Even the assassination of Lincoln, I never have found out what religion John Wilkes Booth was. Do you know?
There's something in the back of my brain that thinks he was, being a Southerner, he was probably Anglican. I'm not certain.
Well, he was from England and over in that part of the
country. No. He was purebred 100% American.
Yeah, but I mean his tribe went from there over here to the Booths, and they were actors and so forth.
Oh, yes. Junius Booth was a genius on the stage.
And when he fled from Washington down through Maryland, he hid in Catholic homes, but that don't make him a Catholic.
No.
So... I really don't know. I've heard all kinds of tales. Maybe you can bring it up on your show.
Well, no, your fundamental thesis is absolutely correct, and that is more people have been killed in the name of Christ than just about, or in the name of religion. Here, let's be free-handed about it. More people have died in the name of something calling itself religion than just about any other cause on earth.
Amen.
Safe to say?
Yes.
And you know, we talked about what happened in the Middle East. At the end of World War One, we promised freedom to the Arabs who fought alongside us in ousting the Ottoman Turks. And we turned around and slipped the shiv between their ribs, and we gave Syria to France, and we gave Iraq and Iran to England. And that's how the borders wound up looking like they look today. They're completely artificial.
Well, you know what, Bob, the American Indian said. He spoke with forked tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And on the currency, it's got the arrows of war, palm branches.
The olive branch, yeah.
So they can go either way. And like you've said on there, you've awakened me to, like the Democrats and the Republicans, I always said you get poisoned any way you go, like rattlesnake or copperhead. So what you're saying now, and I'm hearing, is... Everybody is against each other. They're companions, politically, religiously, economic, and
Well, you know, the thing is, it's there's a great watering down. What Christ taught is not what's going on in the churches, in large part. These mainstream religion industry operations, I hesitate to even call them churches. You know what I mean? These are...
Well, you said it there today. It's Bonnie.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got the religion right here in my hand.
Almighty is...
Yeah.
What they're after.
And they will kill for it. They will
assassinate,
rape, pillage. If there is evil to be done on the planet, they will do it to get one of these little greenbacks that are in my hand, and they'll blame it on Jesus, and that makes me sick.
Well, that's the way the evil society we live in. It's sad it's come to be this. I'm just talking to you.
Yep.
I needed something off. Maybe it helped you.
It always helps, man.
And I hope Jehovah bless. And good night.
And you as well. Bye. Thank you very kindly. All right. I think that was a first-time caller. And there are rampant prejudices out there. And I do need to make one thing clear. I know good people of virtually all faith. I know good Jewish people. I know good Muslim people. I know good Christian people. It is what the power elite does in the name of that religion that takes the legitimacy away. Does that make any sense? When it becomes an instrument of social control as opposed to an instrument of social change, when the radical notions of a guy who wandered around in Palestine 2,000 years ago, hanging out with tax crooks and whores and all manner of what are supposed to be the low end of society, and the next thing you know, he's used as a justification for killing 100,000 innocents in our name. There's a problem. Our good friend David from Tennessee, our music consultant, sent me a great piece on this fellow named Land from the Southern Baptist Convention, who preaches his hateful rhetoric in the name of so-called evangelical Christians. I mean, there's a quote in this thing that will curl your hair. Stand by just a second. I come in here and I got so much stuff. Oh, I got the wrong one. I'm running out of places to put it. You hear this? This is a real clipping from the Nashville, Tennessee, and I couldn't make all this noise if it wasn't. This clown's name is Richard Land, and he is leader of the so-called policy arm of the Southern Baptist cult, okay? And he gets on the radio and talks about how many people we need to kill. Here's a quote from him. Now, this is a guy... Now, just sit back, relax, take a deep breath before you start running around the room, ripping your clothes off and screaming that everything's going to hell, okay? This is a guy who professes to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? We're all solid on that, right? Okay. Listen carefully. And bear in mind, these words that wait are also... I mean, this guy isn't just the talking mouth in front of the microphone that's supported by the tithes and donations of decent people the nation over. No, no, no. He's also president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of my denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention. Here we go. Talking about his patron, George W. Bonghit's Little War, he says, this creep Land, there are some people that you just have to kill if you want to live in a civilized society. Listen again, this is a man of God. There are some people that you just have to kill if you want to live in a civilized society. Where did Jesus say that? Jesus! Where did he say that? I missed that part of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who kill some people that you just have to kill if you want to live in a civilized society. Mr. Land, kindly define civilized for me before I start screaming. Oh, there's a lot more. Oh, sometimes it makes your soul hurt. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks for the generous support you provided during the United Way Fall 2004 campaign. Did you know that 99 cents of every dollar donated stays right here in Raleigh, Fayette, Nicholas, and Summers County to help the 20 agencies the United Way supports, including the Red Cross, Girl Scouts, Commission on Aging, Women's Resource Center, Fishes and Loaves, and 15 other nonprofit agencies. Your tax-deductible gift helps the many who are unable to help themselves. Please continue to support the United Way of Southern West Virginia. It's a great investment in our community. If you would like additional information, please contact me at 253-2111. That's the United Way of Southern West Virginia, making a lasting impression on our community.
That catches and slams it and hangs on the rim.
And the Cougars are on a roll.
His sixth three-pointer of the game, and this one's from 11 feet beyond the arc.
And the Cougars are national champions.
This is our town. This is our team. It's Mountain State University Cougar basketball, and you can follow all the exciting action on Power Country 105.9 WTNJ. The 2004 NAIA Division I National Champs are looking to go right back. Don't miss a game, home or away. This is Paul Van Scott inviting you to join me for all the exciting action this year of Mountain State University Cougar basketball on 105.9 WTNJ.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Okay. Let's do that again. There are some people that you just have to kill if you want to live in a civilized society. Where in hell have we gone when we're letting killers like this guy define what civilized is, and he defines civilized by being willing to go out and kill indiscriminately in the name of a carpenter who hung out with people that this guy probably would have had killed? I hope this, you know... This is another one of those guys that makes me want very badly to believe in a very real and very burning hell. Even though it's a fabrication, I want there to be one for this guy because, I want him to stand there up to his neck in brimstone and Satan standing on the other side of him saying, "Say it again! Tell me again about the civilized society!" Yeah, pinch a little bit more off of it. Twist his arms real good. Throw a little pitch on him, too, would you? Now, come on, Pastor Land, Richard Land, come on, say it again.
Ooh, ow, ooh, there are, ooh, some, people, ow, ooh, ooh, hot, that you, ooh, just have to, kill, ooh,
if you want to live in a, civilized society, eternity, okay, eternity for this guy. No wings, no halo. Nope. Mm-mm, sorry. Just a little pitchfork point in the butt every couple of seconds for the rest of universal existence. There are some people that you just have to kill if you want to live in a civilized society. Oh, and by the way, if you go to TVC, the Values Coalition or Consortium or some foolishness like that. There's some old gray-haired, doughy, useless drag on society that thinks he knows more about right and wrong than anyone else. And he's got an article talking about Jim Wallace. Do you know who Jim Wallace is? W-A-L-L-I-S. Heads up a wonderful magazine called Sojourners. Okay? For real Christians. people who think that morals and ethics have a lot more to do with social justice and poverty and eliminating misery instead of creating more of it than it does with whether or not the queers can get married. What did he? This clown refers to Jim Wallace as a sock puppet of the left. Because Jim Wallace has a bestseller on the New York Times list right now, nonfiction, explaining why Republicans really aren't moral and don't have any idea what Christianity means. And this clown, the Leonard something, you know, Leonard W. Geek, the Right Reverend, whatever, says that he's a sock puppet of the left because he says that because Reverend Wallace doesn't have the common good sense to damn his own soul to eternal torment by agreeing with George W. Bonghit. And he calls him a sock puppet. So, you know, you guys that think I'm a name caller, you can stuff it for a while, okay? Because in your book, I'm supposed to sit here and let filthy, foul-mouthed dirtbags like Richard Land and whoever that clown is at the Values Coalition referring to good, solid, decent men like Jim Wallace as sock puppets of the left. Nope, sorry, I'm fighting back. I'm not going to claim any religious creed. I don't stand on any so-called moral high ground. I'm going to tell you what it is, how it is, and when it is, okay? And what it is evil. And it is stalking the land in the form of people like Dick Land and these other right-wing religion industry clowns who have no more idea of what the life and teaching of Jesus of Nazareth was than a hog knows about Sunday suits. Back to the phones. We've got David. Hey, David, thanks for sending that to me. That's fun stuff.
Well, Bob, you're quite welcome. I feel quite privileged that, you know, a little due diligence on my end made it all the way to the Bob Kincaid Library of Important Stuff.
And it is. I mean, people need to know the way. These are devils, okay? I mean, you remember when the Vietnamese would refer to us as white devils, that kind of thing? This guy's a devil.
Bob, he is indeed part and parcel of the devil, and all the listeners that are looking at their radio and thinking, oh, Bob's a little over the top, they need to realize that, first of all, in general, that Land character, Mr. Land, is the absolute face and hood ornament of Mr. Nice as far as the religious right is concerned. He was in Fahrenheit 9/11. He was in the front line. Documentary on religion and George Bush. He has been there as Bush's spokesman for every situation where the right wanted to put a nice, quote unquote, a nice face on it. And then he turns around and says, yep, we need to kill a few to have a civilized society. And that was a paraphrase, and I'm sorry for that, but the way the whole article read, preemptive strike is well within that man's capability. It's not the old routine from World War II where we'll defend our shores, and I'm really sorry, but if the other fella comes to our shore to hurt us, we may have to engage in war. It's not praise the Lord and pass the ammunition once the war is going. That man wants, I believe, and speaks about preemptive strikes wherever he and his right-wing religious corruption thinks they see evil.
Well, bloodthirsty punks like this Land guy probably have little bracelets that say WWJB, who would Jesus bomb? And you know what? He sits around gleefully, this guy has, I'm going by his own words, David. He sits around gleefully answering that question. Everybody, Jesus would bomb everybody that we want Jesus to bomb. And that man's not going to hell.
As my father used to say, if there's a hell, that old boy's going to have a big piece of it.
Oh, I want him to have a ranch.
Yep, I agree completely. Because
and hell's own little golf cart to drive around in it.
Exactly.
There's a really bad little movie from a few years back called, what was it, Little Nicky, I think. One of my least favorite actors in the world. Adam Sandler starred in it.
Boy, we agree on that one.
Oh, God, I hate him. But there is a scene, the only merit of the entire movie is this scene of Hitler in hell, wearing a French maid's uniform.
This is getting better by the minute.
And getting a pineapple put somewhere that doesn't bear discussing on family radio periodically by the devil himself.
Oh, my gracious.
You know.
Wow, that's almost more visual than radio can stand.
Oh, yeah, sharp pointy end first, too, David.
Those little spines. Goodness gracious.
And, you know, that's the only thing that ever made watching that film worthwhile for me is I can take the face, I can take that face in that scene, and I can, and you know, thank you for sending the front page of this article that includes a picture so that I can get the visual going with that whole scene of this guy. You know, the jowly chops and the white pasty face, and you can just see him pontificating, and here comes the pineapple!
And just so that everybody is reminded that religion, quote-unquote, at that level pays, that man lives in one of the finest gated communities in Franklin, Tennessee, anybody ever saw.
Guess at the selling prices? I mean, the gated communities, Franklin, Tennessee, we might not have the point of reference here, David. Let's talk money. After all, that's what matters to these people.
The ones without the gates start at $650,000.
Okay.
You don't get a gate till about $900,000, and if you're only at $950,000, yours will be one of the smaller ones on the block.
And he lives in a nice one.
He lives in a very nice one because his connection to that particular, he's getting many paychecks, Bob. He works the Republican thing really well. He's instrumental within the hardest right-wing part of the Southern Baptist movement. Sorry to rain on your vision of little gray-haired ladies that were the sweetest, dearest, kindest things on the planet.
Oh, that's okay. They're dead and spinning in their graves low these many years.
And yes, I dare say you're correct. Well, anyway, he's that. He's Bush's spokesperson. He's involved with several other groups. He speaks probably 100 nights a year on behalf of Mr. Bush and their collective values.
And if I read the article aright, Bush's toadies in the White House, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe even Jeff Gannon's boyfriend calls this guy once a week to see what God says for George to do lately. Right?
I guarantee you, if George Bush makes 3 phone calls, if he talks to 3 people about religion, land is never lower than number 2. There's land, there's Wilder, there's Billy Graham's off the list now because he's not radical enough.
There used to be a guy who, and he's a radical Roman Catholic named Deal Hudson. I knew Deal. He used to be on that short phone call list until... and he was a professor at Fordham University, and he was on the short phone call list until he got caught diddling little college girls who were on the verge of suicide.
A charming lot, don't you think?
Yeah, and bear in mind, I mean, yeah, granted, he wasn't a priest, but he was a married man with a committed covenant relationship with his lovely wife, also a friend, former friend of mine, and had kids by her, and was diddling little college girls.
Transforming the powerful relationship, the authority figure relationship, into the most ugly, rotten, corrupted thing you can do. Take advantage of those that respect and revere. That's worse than the 12-year-old taking candy from the 9-year-old. That's worse than the 12-year-old shaking down a 9-year-old for lunch money.
Yeah,
the 9-year-old will only be hungry till he can home, but when a 40-year-old man abuses a young woman under his guidance and tutelage and mentoring, she's ruined for life.
Yeah, and it all happened in that particular instance. This good, upstanding, upright, godly man, close friend of George W. Bush, that all happened after a night of tequila drinking at a local watering hole somewhere in Greenwich Village. Yeah. Classic
wait,
guy.
Wait a second. I'm having a tough time connecting tequila shooters, Greenwich Village,
Fordham University,
and the Southern Baptist. I mean, they're
no. This guy was an This guy was an ex-Southern Baptist. He converted to Roman Catholicism.
Well?
He was a professor of religion and philosophy.
Never mind. It sounds like the conversion didn't quite take.
no, well, you know, it goes without saying that it didn't take. But, you know, coming back to Dickland over here, this guy, you know, I think you talk about the mansion that he lives in and the ungodly salaries that he draws. And I think of a little tiny Bob Kincaid, oh, about 36 years ago, with a dime in his pocket to go to church and put in the plate. And by now, those dimes are dollar bills or $2, $5 for little Johnny to go to church and put in the plate, and it supports filthy people like this dirty, damned pig land. There are some people that you just have to kill if you want to live in a civilized society. Jesus lived in a civilized society, and it got him dead. So I guess he's right. There are some people you just have to kill if you want to live in a civilized society. Jesus would be one of them.
Here you're right. And the way they're setting the rules, Jesus wouldn't make the cut. Jesus couldn't go to one of Bush's rallies.
No!
Jesus would not make the cut because he wouldn't accept somebody saying, here's your one question, don't wear that funny-looking robe, don't stand out, don't stand up, and don't ever say anything that that confuses the boss.
And for God's sakes, Jesus, don't start with that love thy neighbor as yourself bug spray with Mr. Bush. He knows better.
Exactly. My gracious, I thought this break time, Bob.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to take one. I'm going to go have a smoke. I'm a little angry.
Enjoy,
all right.
Bob.
Thanks,
David.
Thanks
for letting me rant.
Oh, thanks for the piece. Later.
You're quite welcome.
Okay, let's see what Jim Hightower's got to say. Maybe that'll help a little bit. Please. All right. Phone calls, who knows what, when we come back. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Police in Fayette County are investigating a Wednesday night armed robbery at a convenience store in Whipple. A male suspect entered Shirley's Market at the intersection of Scarborough Road and State 612 around 9:30, produced a handgun and fled with an undisclosed amount of cash. The suspect had a sweatshirt pulled over the top of his head. The clerk could not see his face. Suspect described as about 5'8", 6 feet tall, with a slender build. Anyone with information, please call State Police at 469-2915 in Oak Hill. The State Division of Natural Resources has released details of a revised plan to increase license fees for hunting and fishing. Under the new proposal, outdoor enthusiasts could continue buying hunting-only or fishing-only licenses. The DNR's original proposal called for eliminating individual hunting and fishing licenses and instead combining the two in a sportsman's license. The new plan allows a choice of individual or combined hunting and fishing licenses to be combined separately. State Fire Marshal's office has been called in to investigate a fire in Fayette County. That fire broke out at a house on Rock Lick School Road in Minden just before 9 o'clock last night. Crews from the Oak Hill Fire Department responded. They got help from Fayetteville's Fire Department, but the house was a total loss. No one was at home at the time, and there were no injuries. Police are investigating what may have been another robbery at the Little General Store at Nalgene Square. An employee at the adjoining Steak Escape restaurant went into the Little General restroom around 4:30 yesterday afternoon. When he left the restroom, he ran into two men who asked if he had money. The restaurant worker gave the men a couple of dollars. The two suspects didn't lay their hands on the victim or make threats. Police are looking at the possibility of second-degree robbery, but they say all they have to go on are the suspects blocking the door and the victim being afraid they would harm him if he didn't give the money. That's the news forecast for tonight. Partly cloudy and cold. There's a chance of slight chance of some light snow flurries. Low tonight near 25. But then for Saturday, partly cloudy and chilly with temperatures in the upper 30s to around 40. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
Have you got BioWilly in your tank? I'm talking about a clean-burning alternative fuel that Willie Nelson is helping to market through a new company called Willie Nelson Biodiesel. What is it? It's essentially vegetable oil, mainly soybean oil, though the used frying oil from Dunkin' Donuts or Sid's Greasy Spoon also works. ExxonMobil and the like don't want you knowing this, but if you take veggie oil and process it slightly to remove the glycerin, which, by the way, is what soap is made of, you have a ready-to-go fuel for diesel engines. Whether you have a diesel pickup or a Mercedes, it'll run on this stripped-down veggie oil without requiring any modification to the engine. Just tank up and go. Willie has been tanking up his tour buses with it for some time. There's nothing new or complicated about the concept. French inventor Rudolf Diesel's original engines ran on vegetable oils. So Nelson and partners are going back to the future, working with truck stops and convenience store chains to market the veggie-based fuel under the BioWilly brand. The fuel's average price is $1.79 a gallon, and while the major concentration of biodiesel pumps is in the Midwest, Nelson hopes to spread it from sea to shining sea. Exxon tells us to put a tiger in our tanks, but BioWilly gives us a bigger bang for the buck. Not only do you get a fuel that is better for your engine at a competitive price, but biodiesel also is much better for the environment. It can be an economic boon for America's family farmers, and your exhaust fumes can smell like donuts. Oh, and Willie notes that there's one more big plus. We can put farmers back on the land growing fuel and keep us from having to start wars for oil. This is Jim Hightower saying, Representative Dennis Kucinich is preparing legislation to help develop this new biodiesel industry for America. For information, call 202-225-5871.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Back 20 minutes before 9 o'clock. You know, there's an element of fraud. I mean, do you ever think back to when you were little and what you believed in and what you believed about the world and what you were promised and what a stinking, tawdry, filthy, torrid mess it turned out to be? Oh, I wasn't kidding. I still, to this day, I have great reverence and respect for those sweet little blue-haired ladies that taught me things like do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me, and blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. Unfortunately, it took on me. I trusted them. I believed them. And then, you know, the very place where I was taught all that turns out to be a filthy cesspool of death and destruction and the advocation of murder. And I'm supposed to respond nicely to that? I'm supposed to say, well, you know, everybody has their failings, but, you know, whatever. I can't do that. I can't sell little me out. Because huddled down in some corner of my soul, he's still there. And he still believes in that stuff. To this day, I believe that if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me. It makes such sense. And, you know, that brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter never came up with that idea by hanging out in the salons with the Roman elite and the high-ranking members of the Sanhedrin. Guess what, sunshine? People like Pastor Dick Land, they are the Sanhedrin now. Because they feel absolutely confident in passing judgment on anyone who doesn't believe the way they do. And what's even more twisted is morality for them consists in whether or not the queers can get married, whether or not a 14-year-old little girl who's been raped by her daddy can have an abortion, and whether or not we've got a big rock with 10 pieces of advice for a Stone Age people 3,000 years ago in the federal courthouse. You know what? There's not 10 cents worth of morality in any of that. It's all wrestling. I'm tired of finding out that everything's wrestling. I don't like wrestling. Back to the phones. Gary's with us. Hey, Gary, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, let's wrestle.
Got on. What's up?
Oh, not a whole lot. You sound like you're a little... Well, you're full of and vinegar tonight.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, I got this article, and you know, when this man of God... There are some people that you just have to kill if you want to live in a civilized society. And I think if I took that quote and set it on top of a Bible, one or the other of them would catch fire.
Yeah. Well, I don't...
I mean, Hitler said that kind of stuff, Gary! You know, if you want to live in... If we want to live in a civilized society, we must exterminate the Jews.
Yeah, but you're saying it, Bob.
No, I'm not saying it.
You're saying there's certain people we have to eliminate.
I haven't argued anybody's elimination. I'm just waiting for the karma to catch up, and well, I want front row seats when it does.
Well, I can understand what you're saying, you know, but I mean it's just a big mess no matter where you go.
It is, and it's heartbreaking.
Well, it gets worse every day. I mean, I don't know. America's just changed. It's just not the same type of place it used to be.
I mean, we don't have any towns anymore. You know, we have sprawls.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about independence from foreign oil. How long would it take you to walk from, and I don't know where you live exactly, how long would it take you to walk from your house to somewhere to buy groceries?
Well, I'm pretty fortunate. I live near the shopping district, so it wouldn't take me actually that long.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, like I was talking to you before about the bike trail, amazing number of people use that really for their basic transportation route because they're on foot or on a bicycle. But there's a lot of people that actually have to use that.
Well, I think there's a way back, but we have to want to find it.
Well, I think you're 100% right, but things are going to come about in the future. We're going to have to try to find our way back. You know, I don't think America, the way it's constituted, can go on another 20 years. I just don't. It's just there's just too many things working against it. We've made too many mistakes. We're divided in too many camps. It's just not going to work out.
Well, you know, I loathe your 20-year estimate, but you may be right because the policies that are going down right now, my kids are going to pay for. You know, whether it's raping Social Security or trying to get the rest of the Muslim world ready to kill us.
Well, there's just so many things. It's like I talked to you before, like this convergence of crises. I mean, there's just more than one thing that's coming after us.
Yeah.
We're basically we're going to be like. Some guy's getting his head used for a speed bag, you know. We're going to be hit so hard, so fast, from so many directions, we're just not going to know what to do about it. That's what's coming up. You wait and see.
Well, is there any way to prepare for it?
Well, yeah, there is. People have to think independently. They have to use their own mind. They have to not be sheeple. You heard that term.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to think for yourself.
I'm guessing duct tape and plastic sheeting isn't part of it.
Well, I mean, things like... I think people are, ultimately, what people are going to have to do is kind of start going back to the old ways of doing things. I mean, when I grew up, and I'm not really that old, I don't think. I mean, you know how old I am.
Yeah.
Don't tell nobody, but...
Yeah.
I grew up where in my grandmother's household, for the most part, she grew most of her own food. She canned it. She never had much of an income at all. But you know what? She didn't need one.
Well, the thing is, you're in the same position to a certain extent that I am. You got to watch a generation further back than most people, Gary.
Exactly. And you've seen how they done things. It was a low-stress lifestyle. They didn't need a lot of money. They did for themselves. And I think we're going back to that, especially when you look at the... You know, look at the price of automobiles and stuff like that. I mean, and it's going to continue to become a more and more of an item that fewer and fewer people can afford.
No, I was sitting in the barbershop the other day, Gary, and I had a copy of Motor Trend. You know, you're just killing time waiting for your haircut.
Yeah.
And I opened it up to an article on bargain high-performance automobiles.
Uh-huh.
Bargain high-performance automobiles.
Yeah.
They were all anywhere from $25,000 to $30,000, and those are bargains.
Yeah, well, to me it's unbelievable, and I haven't bought a new car in years, and I don't expect to buy a new one the rest of my life.
No.
I can't see going out and working that hard to pay for something. It's just basic transportation, you know?
Yeah, and you talk about a simpler lifetime. Here's a perfect example of it. The house I live in was built in 1936.
Mm-hmm.
And by God, it was built rock solid. But in that entire house, there's not one closet. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass myself or my family, but it's a little known fact that in that day, one, closets were a superfluity, or a superfluity.
Yeah, well, they use wardrobes mainly.
Yeah, and that's what we've still got the wardrobes that were built then.
Yeah.
I mean, they're family antiques, and they're plenty useful. But the other trick is, the reason there were no closets, yeah, it was a simpler lifestyle, and no, they didn't need great big walk-in closets and sunken tubs with jacuzzis in them. That would have been offensive. But the other thing was, the tax structure of the day, you were taxed per room.
Uh-huh.
And a closet counted as a room. So, consequently, no closets in houses of that era. You know, God knows I love my home. It's got so much good spirit and good karma in it. Yeah, that's why I'm there.
Isn't that your grandparents' old house?
Yeah, my grandmother built it. And that's why I love it. I've wanted to live in it since I was a little bitty boy, and we would come up here for 2 weeks at a time. And when it came time to leave, I was like, hey, Mom, Dad, I'll just stay here with Gran. Because she was part of that generation. And what a treasure that I, you know, people like you and me got to have contact with them.
Yeah, I grew up around old people. I mean, my aunts and uncles all lived up to me in their 80s and 90s and even 100 years old, and so consequently I was exposed to a lot of that. And a lot of people nowadays, they have no clue about it.
And it gives you a different outlook, doesn't it?
A totally different outlook. But I can say I'm lucky that I live less than probably half a mile from where I grew up, you know,
mm-hmm.
living that way. And I still try to live that way to a certain extent, because you know yourself, I grow these big gardens, and
right.
You know, I cook with wood, eat with wood, you know, stuff like that, trying to get back to the old ways.
Yeah, well,
as much as possible. People are going to have to, I believe.
And part of that is being ready for the convergence of crises that you talk about.
Well, I think one of the big things coming up, and I hope I'm wrong about this, would be this oil and gas situation, of course. People are going to see their heating bills continue to escalate. And there are people right now that are saying that they're on the edge. They cannot pay another dime to heat their homes.
And they're
about fixed incomes.
And they're about to have to.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I know people, and I used to be one of them, with what I referred to as the 500-pound bomb in the yard, the big propane tank.
Yeah.
And in a drafty old house, you could go through a $500 tank of that stuff in a month.
Yeah. Did you get that website I sent you on that house that guy built in North Carolina back in the 60s, basically with self-heating?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah, it was, but look how simple it was.
Yeah, there's not that much. No, I mean, it's genius in its simplicity. It's not rocket science.
No, it's not, and it's not rocket science, and you wonder why they had building that way all along. And I guess the reason is why they didn't have to. It was so cheap to heat a house.
Well, I guess there are those who would argue that it wasn't money intensive enough.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah.
Cheap to heat, but also not that complicated to build.
Yeah, I mean, did you read that whole article? Or?
Yeah.
Didn't that just blow you away?
Well, it did, and it's so doable. But, you know, who's talking about it? You know, you go into the details on something like that, Gary, you know,
tree hugger, you know, enviro-Nazi.
Yeah, you know what you're going to hear.
Yeah, well, my heart of hearts, I guess I'm a Malthusian.
Yeah, well, that works.
This whole thing is going to come to a head one day, and it's not going to be pretty.
No.
We're going to... and you got that thing about the exponential function?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It seems to me like there's three times the people around here used to be, and it's going to be to do nothing but it's going to get worse and worse and worse. I mean, we're going to have more and more people and less resources to spread around.
Well, I stole the line from the good professor in that video, Gary, in talking about unrestrained growth.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got unrestrained growth going on in your body, it's cancer.
That's right.
And you know, and there we were on the rim of the gorge trying to have us a nice little cancer.
Well, you know, these people out there that advocate all this growth and development, one day they're going to rue the day that they've done that because they're going to realize what they've done. They've just outstripped their resource base right where they live at.
Well, look, Gary, within 10 years, I think, was what I saw, within 10 years, half of the population of planet Earth will live in cities.
Yeah.
How are they going to eat?
Well, that's the $40 question, especially with the cost of petrochemical fertilizers going through the roof.
Well, that and factor into that the story I had last night about the perchlorate. You know, the breast milk from nursing mothers from New Jersey has rocket fuel in it because of the rocket fuel that leached into the Colorado River Basin and was used to irrigate the farms in the Southwest.
And we wonder why we got all these strange cancers popping up.
Oh, sure.
You know, I said for a long time, you take all these chemicals that are present in our environment and all of them that you take in just in your food, just read any food label. They might be able to say individually and singly that each one of them does not cause cancer or any other type of mutagenic effects. What happens when you mix this up and you've got a soup?
Oh, yeah, when it turns into a cocktail.
There's nobody out there that really knows what's going to happen.
Well, then again, there's the tinfoil hat department, Gary, and they'll tell you that they know damned well what's going to happen. For instance, perchlorate. Everybody knows it's poison, and it didn't take any rocket fuel, but not rocket science, to figure out that it screws with the hormones that are put out by the thyroid, and that the outcome of that is children with learning disabilities like attention deficit disorder. Hey, look, Pfizer just came out with a new ADD drug.
Yeah.
I mean, some of, and again, I sound like Dr. Paranoid, but some of it's just a little too cozy for my taste.
Well, I told you a little story about a while back. I had to go to the hospital for my throat closed up. I had a sore throat, and it got really bad. My throat closed up, and I couldn't swallow. So, consequently, I had to go to the hospital, and they gave me a prescription for an antibiotic, which I needed, which cured the problem very quickly, within basically 24 hours. And also, they give me a prescription for cough syrup with codeine in it.
Woohoo!
Now, why in the world do it do that? I didn't need cough syrup with codeine in it. I didn't even have a cough.
And it wasn't a painful cough to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, I'm a person that stays strictly away from codeine. I'm afraid of codeine, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, anything that's kissing cousins with heroin, you have reason to be concerned about.
Well, I actually OD'd on it one time by accident. I had a bad toothache, and I had these Tylenol 3s with codeine, and I kept popping them to try to ease the pain, and it didn't, and it almost killed me. That codeine is extremely dangerous because it slows your heart down.
Yes, it does.
And I know a person that actually died under that scenario. They were taking Tylenol 3s with codeine. They went to sleep, and they never woke up.
Yeah, and imagine then hydrocodone and oxycodone.
Yeah.
You know, we're junking our populace.
Well, the point I'm trying to make, though, is why are they prescribing me things that I don't even need like that? And I, you know, I don't think I'm
because exception. You may not need it, but the pharmacy needs your money.
Well, I know it's just a big racket anymore. It's just a big pharmaceutical racket.
Now you talk about the convergence of crises. I haven't really touched on this one yet, and I'm glad you reminded me, Gary. Are you following any of this business with the bird flu?
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm thinking about maybe heading for the woods.
Well, and the thing is, people are already dying for it, dying from it, human beings, and they've caught it from birds. It hasn't gotten to the point where it can be transmitted from human to human, but the World Health Organization says that day is coming, and a report came out today where they said they were shocked and appalled at the lack of interest on the part of the of anybody in the world. I mean, it's stoppable right now.
Well, what I heard was that it had already infected some people in China.
Yeah.
And it had a 72% fatality rate.
Yeah, you. This is like, well, I mean, maybe it was SARS. You know, you remember SARS from a couple of years ago?
Yeah, well, this is like the Russian flu on steroids.
Yeah, this is nasty, nasty stuff, and humans can get it. Humans get sick when they get it. It's running around in the poultry populations of Southeast Asia and Asia right now, and can break out at any minute. And what are we doing? You know, I'll tell you what we're doing. We got right wingers calling in talk show programs saying we need to get out of that there UN. And nobody's in love with the UN. It's flawed, but you know, things like the World Health Organization are beneficial because they identify crises that can wipe out the better population of the world.
Well, there are some people out there who say that, you know, the history of antibiotics and stuff like that. They come up with sulfur drugs, then they come up with things like penicillin and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. It looked like we had just beat back infectious diseases, right?
Right.
Well, now these diseases are mutating, they're becoming more resistant, and we might actually see the day where we go right back where we started from, or very close to it. When you get these diseases that mutate, and you know, flu is something that constantly mutates.
Sure.
That's why you could never really build a real true immunity to it. You can build immunity to a particular strain once you've had it.
Yeah, and let's use another word for mutate so we can shock some people a little bit, Gary. Evolves.
Evolve, yes.
You know, but, you know, it's funny, the people who scream up and down about if evolution's only a theory, they're the first ones in line for that flu shot. Because they don't want it evolving on them. But, you know, again, we talk about being close to a different generation. My grandmother's first fiancé was killed in the 1918 flu epidemic.
Well, you know, I got a little story for you.
Yeah.
My grandmother gave birth almost immediately after she gave birth. She caught that flu. She survived.
Yeah.
You tell me she wasn't tough.
Oh, she was tough, and she also had because of the birth situation, she had a body absolutely coursing. With protective antibodies that had been generated to protect the baby.
You just brought up something very interesting. You think that's why? You think it helped her?
Oh, I'm absolutely certain.
I've never even thought about that. That's something because
we had a chance. We had a chance to save my mother's life with the cord blood from my youngest.
Uh-huh.
But the doctors we were dealing with wouldn't allow it.
Huh. I never even thought of that.
A mother's body is flooded with antibodies. It's generated in the breast milk, it's generated in the bloodstream, in an effort to keep the baby alive.
And, well, you know, that 1918 flu, now that was killing people in their 20s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this was the fiancé of my grandmother. I mean, we're talking about maybe a 20-year-old guy.
Yeah, it was extremely virulent, and this bird flu, they say, is worse than that even.
It is.
I mean, this will be, this bird flu situation, and let's not panic here, but
it's got real
theoretically, plan. It could be like the Black Death.
Right. Hey, we got to get out of here. Top of the hour.
Okay, Bob.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
All right, this is News Talk 620 WWNR, Beckley, West Virginia. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
All right, we're back. 5.5 minutes after 9 o'clock. Oh, 54 minutes and then the long, long wait until Monday. It's tough sometimes. No, we got plenty to do this weekend. Okay. Yeah, here it is. It's the end of February, and it's time for Little League signups. Blows my mind. And Little League will be over by the end of the first week in June. And maybe it's one of those things where you look back and it seems different. Baseball, when I was a kid, lasted longer. So we've got that. I've got that to look forward to. That'll be fun. We'll do a little warming up somewhere. Maybe throw a little ball in the gym or something. West Virginia stuff. I've already mentioned that apparently Delegate Ron Thompson from around hereabouts says that he supports reinstating the death penalty. How can somebody be so wrong-headed? I mean, I can't make that work in my little noggin, wanting to kill people. And wanting to put... And wait, just a minute. From the fiscally conservative standpoint, it's extremely expensive to kill people. And nearly, from some reports I've read, nearly as expensive or more expensive in some cases when you consider the litigation issues as just warehousing somebody for life who committed murder. But the dumbest part of this article is, of course, coming from Delegate John Overington. You know, if John Overington spoke in the woods and there was no one to hear him, would he still be an idiot? He says there wouldn't be no innocent people put to death if DNA evidence was used in all capital murder cases. Doofus. We're going to use some DNA evidence, even if there ain't none. Yeah, I think this guy's been watching a little too much CSI or something. Because, you know, there's always DNA evidence there. But it is entirely possible to have a murder case without any DNA evidence whatsoever. So, again, this boob. And a bloodthirsty one at that. And around the country, we see moratoriums taking place because of the rampant errors that exist in death penalty states. One, the fact that they tend to kill the non-white people twice, three times, four times as often as they kill the good white people. And two, because there are problems with jurisdictions like Texas where it's okay for your appointed defense lawyer to sleep through the trial. And then you wind up with a governor like George W. Bonghit, who says, is the guilty? And little Alberto de Torquemada says, see, they're guilty, killed him. Ugh. And this guy, and it doesn't just end with that. This guy every year introduces an assault on working people, trying to make sure that West Virginia can jump in there and join in the race to the bottom so everybody can work for $6 an hour. This guy just slays me. And now we've talked about things that arguably don't, you know, when we've got the problems that we've got in West Virginia, and arguably we do have them, the governor's out there saying, lift the motorcycle helmet ban. And I've talked to a lot, I've got a lot of friends that ride, and they'd love to see that helmet ban lifted. And every one of them can give you 19 reasons why motorcycle helmets are really more deadly than they are helpful. And yet there's no getting around the fact that if you go flying off your motorcycle and you land head first and you don't have a helmet, you're a dead guy. And it doesn't take much speed to do that. 10, 20 miles an hour, you know, who cares? So I'm not so sure I feel so good about... Governor Manchin out there saying he wants to lift the motorcycle helmet ban. And yet, apparently, Senate Majority Leader Truman Chafin's right on board with it because he's a biker, too, and he doesn't like wearing his helmet either. And John Amores, the House Judiciary Chairman, says he's not so crazy about the idea. But here, I'll compromise. If you're going to lift the helmet ban, you'd better, by God, not even have a secondary offense for not wearing a seatbelt. Right? I mean, this is about freedom, right? Sauce for the goose. It's sauce for the gander. And, of course, the ongoing debate about the auto insurance giveaway, where we're going to give up everybody's right to sue a dirty, stinking, rotten insurance company that decides to mess with you just because it can in exchange for about $100 on 1 year's premiums. Because they're going back up, sunshine, after that year's over. Now, a lot of people out there, they pay their insurance on a monthly basis. So do the math. $8? Are you willing to trade your right to sue an insurance company if they do you dirty for $8? $10? $12? A month? If I was the insurance company, I'd be laughing all the way to the bank. And the interesting part of it is, in the past, they've said, hey, guys, could you give a discount in years past? Could you give a discount if we gave away West Virginia's rights to you this way? Could you do that for us, please? Well, gosh, no, I don't think we could. We don't have the money for any discounts right now. And suddenly they do. And interestingly enough, there's nothing in writing about this. There is no hard, fast promise to cut rates if we get rid of third-party bad faith, the right to sue an insurance company who does you dirty. This is a terrible mistake. And as was said last night, if the insurance companies want to open their books and let an independent auditor go over them, sure, we'll start talking about it. But until they want to play on the same level playing field that we're playing on, don't be giving away any of my rights. And finally, apparently, here very soon, come along about May, Governor Manchin is heading off to Japan for a meeting with Toyota Motor Corporation's honorary chairman, Shuichiro Toyoda. Because Toyota's talking about building two more auto assembly plants. And I certainly wish the governor well on that trip. He's going with Senator Rockefeller. But it's all about introducing the West Virginia Open for Business campaign. I just hope we can translate it into Japanese well and not have it be like the old business with Coca-Cola when they first went to China and they had the Coke Ads Life slogan. You remember Coke Ads Life, don't you? Sure. And it was translated into Chinese, and then it was on billboards all over China, and they sold Coca-Cola like nobody's business because it had gotten mistranslated as Coca-Cola brings your dead ancestors back to life. In a culture that reveres ancestors, that would make for some pretty potent beverage. So I hope West Virginia Open for Business doesn't get translated as West Virginia come do your business on us. Because it can get a little dicey translating into the Asian languages. But one of West Virginia's top three trading partners is Japan. And, of course, I think that's a good thing. So best of luck to Governor Manchin as he prepares for his journey. Of course, that's May, and there's still plenty of work to be done in the legislature, helmet laws, tongue splitting, that kind of thing. Listen, let's take a quick break, then we'll come back. Your phone calls at 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On, and I'm Bob.
Head On.
Trinity Christian Academy is dedicated to educating the whole child. Trinity Christian Academy has loving, caring teachers who are trained to challenge students to attain academic excellence. With pre-K through 8th grade in a great new facility on Pinewood Drive in Beckley, Trinity Christian Academy is a great place for your child. Call today for information at 254-9600. Trinity Christian Academy, 224 Pinewood Drive, just above the Bank of Mount Hope in Beckley. Call Trinity Christian Academy today at 254-9600.
You asked for it, Beckley, and L&S Toyota's giving it to you. L&S Toyota is rolling over triple rebates. It's L&S Toyota, triple your rebate sale. Only L&S Toyota dares to match factory rebates with dealer incentives to give you triple rebates. Up to $3,750. Triple your rebates on new Toyota Corollas, Camrys, Tacomas, Tundras, and more. Triple rebates on every new Toyota up to $3,750. That's right. Triple your rebates on all 2005 models. Plus, over 30 Toyota certified used vehicles are available with 3.9% APR finance. And get a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty with roadside assistance and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. Triple your rebate sales. Triple your savings. Now through Monday at L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley.
On select models with approved credit. Limited term financing. Triple rebates exclude college grad rebate. Dealer retains all rebates at incentives. 37-50 rebate above 500 ends 2/20 out of 5.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 17 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock. Straight to the phones, we got Wayne. Hey, Wayne, you're head on. There you are. Wayne. Wayne.
Hey, I'm here.
Yeah, cool.
I'm sorry, man.
That's all right.
Ron Thompson. That fits. The death penalty?
Yeah.
That fits.
Well, not surprising.
He's following, who else were you talking? Overington?
Yeah.
You know, Overington's also right to work.
Yeah, anti-worker.
Right. You know, and introduced right to work. And Ron Thompson, who calls himself a Democrat, advocates right to work.
Yeah, Dino Thompson.
Exactly. Got to get rid of him. Got to identify some way to run against him.
Yep.
And see if I would run or was running things. The candidate would be running against Ron Thompson.
Yeah, not
the whole, you know.
Yeah, not running in the horse race, not running in the field.
Exactly, against Ron Thompson, because Ron Thompson is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have more respect for you if you switched parties and became the Republican that you are, you know, instead of hiding behind the big D.
Yeah, but he couldn't get elected.
No, he couldn't. Well, you know. I'll tell you what, I'm going to make it as hard as I possibly can to see he's not reelected with hiding behind the big D, too.
Yeah. Look, I got no problem with that, Wayne. It's time to stand up and be counted.
Yes, it is time to be stand up. You know, it's the same thing that, you know, I've been talking about my prevailing wage issue.
Right.
You know, I've been reading a law. Now, they want to make it complicated. They want to make, this is how we think that says. This is our interpretation. You know, you don't need to be a genius. It's very simple. It's a public improvement.
Yeah. And if it's a public...
For the public.
Right. For the public good.
Right. Who's going to be in this building? 5 to 8 state-funded colleges.
Right.
Oh, is that for the public good?
Right. And if we're building it for the public good, why should someone... One have to be employed on the cheap.
Exactly. And you know, another thing, too, I was just thinking, here's a lawsuit in here for all these people that want to argue about this, including me. I mean, I'm going to argue.
Sure.
I'm going to argue, and, you know, I honestly and truly feel I'm going to win. The county and the entity will surely lose, because even if they win in court, they, you know, we will have gone through this whole process and da da da, and you know, so why not just pay the prevailing wage, and let's move on with business.
Because there's some group out there. See, it's not just
there's a whole big group.
Yeah, it's not just that they want to pay workers less. They want to pay workers less and find a way to keep the balance.
Oh, well, and that's exactly what's happened.
They want the money the workers are making.
Yes. You know, you could cut the workers' wages, but the price of the project doesn't go down.
Right.
Only the profit of a few people.
Yeah, and the profits of another few people go up.
Way up.
Yeah.
Yeah, way up.
You know, so I got nothing for a guy who's saying, I want to pay the workers less, but, you know, I make $300,000 a year, and I'm not going to be happy till I'm making $350,000 a year, and I want that money to come from those workers' pockets.
Exactly. That's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're saying.
That's that same hellish greed that's going to wind up in hell with pineapple time, you know? It is.
Right, but, well, I don't know. It just amazes me. I don't quite understand their thinking. But like I say, there you go with the Ron Thompsons and What's that, Overton? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's wrong? What's he from Berkeley County?
I think.
What's wrong with those people? I mean, is there more rocket fuel in their water than most? I mean, I've seen.
There's certainly more BS. I think it drifts up from D.C.
Yeah. Well, it does. I mean, I can't understand.
It must be affecting them something.
I've heard this sad little clown on other radio stations, and he sounds like he's almost as dumb as President Bonghit. And these people return him term after term after term? I mean, there's the argument for term limits.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, this guy's served.
And 10, I don't like. And you know,
and I don't like
I'm
him.
Not a term limit guy.
But he served 10 terms in the House of Delegates.
Oh, really?
And he's a Republican.
That's 20 years.
Yeah. What? 19 years. He's introduced this death penalty bill.
Yes.
19 years. What kind of a legacy is that, Wayne?
I don't know.
You stand up and you tell your grandchildren, well, I was absolutely ineffective as a legislator because I was a Republican to start with, but by golly, for 19, 20 years running, I tried to make sure that we could kill people.
What was your main focus, Grandpa?
Oh, I wanted to kill
people.
Yeah.
Oh, far out. What a great human being you are.
You know, don't go to church, Mr. Overington. Yeah, turn in your membership. You know, as long as...
You know, there's a severe lack of them lightning bolts. In my opinion,
yeah.
I mean, that's my humble opinion.
I know. God's paying.
Of course, I shouldn't wish for them lightning bolts.
God's paying.
I'm sure there's quite a few would be aimed at.
Yeah, but he's paying attention to football games, and he's not paying attention to this guy arguing for death.
Yeah, something. I don't know. And who was the other clown with the? You got to kill a couple of people to have a civilized world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Reverend Dick Land from the Southern Baptist Convention. I can't.
It's scary.
I can't understand that kind of, thinking, if you use that word, thinking.
I don't know, man. We'll have to get with Gary, see if we can't make that flu more selective or something.
Well, you know what? I don't know. You know, this guy's anti-evolution, and that's the problem with the bird flu. It's evolving all over creation.
Yeah, it is.
Literally, all over creation. So, you know, he's anti-evolution. Maybe we need to drop him an email and remind him that since that bird flu is evolving, he wouldn't want anything to do with a vaccine.
Exactly.
Because then he'd be an evolutionist. Oh, he's a sicko. And then to have David tell us that he lives in $1 million house in Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah, and that's something. And how humble that is.
Yeah, you know, and they raffled off the garments or gambled away the garments of Jesus Christ, and it was all he had in the world. And this guy lives in $1 million mansion in Franklin, Tennessee, and little children, little poor children, take their nickels and dimes and quarters and put them in collection plates at the church so he can live in $1 million mansion. My God, it makes me sick.
Is that a hypocrite?
Yeah, with a capital HYPOCRITE. You know, he's caps lock hypocrite. Yeah.
Who does Buzzflash hypocrite of the weekday?
Yeah, somebody needs to let Buzzflash know about this clown.
Oh, yeah, well, he might rate, you know, the silver anniversary dude or something.
Well, where do you come down on the motorcycle helmets?
To be perfectly honest with you, I mean, you know, there seems to me like there's more important things to think about. I personally don't care. You know, my only thing is you have to accept the responsibility that if you don't have your helmet on, you become a vegetable. We're just going to let you there for a couple of days until we have to come and bury you.
Yeah.
You know, don't make us take care of you forever.
Right.
What I mean?
Yeah, let's...
You got to sign a release here.
Yeah, an insurance release, release of all...
liability, yeah.
Yeah.
Or release us from any liability, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the same kind of people that'll then want to sue you because we made the pavement too hard.
Well, you know, the thing is, the argument's being put forward that if only we'll get rid of the helmet law, we'll have motorcycle rallies in West Virginia. Like they're suddenly going to stop going to Sturgis, South Dakota, or Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and they're going to come here, by golly.
Wasn't there a whole crew of them that ride through Raynell and Quint, you know, down that way every year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we, I mean, there's poker runs all over the state, and sure. And they seem to be doing it with helmets on.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
And yet, you know, and but on the other side of it, and I understand, I'm not gooning on him. I understand the thinking behind it. Our sheriff here in this county is pushing to make seatbelt laws a primary offense so that you can be pulled over for no seatbelt.
I'm not real happy with that one.
No. We don't need another reason for the cops to pull you over.
No, we don't.
Or another reason for them to jack up your insurance rates. I mean, it's all interconnected, Wayne.
Yes, it is all interconnected.
And there, you know, the insurance trade out for the right to sue an insurance company.
I'm kind of confused about that. I heard a little bit about it. What is this?
Well, you know, we're going to let's say Wayne is.
We're going to give up third faith.
Third party bad faith.
Okay.
Sounds complicated. It's not.
Right.
Wayne is tooling down the highway. Some Republican. Who's talking on their cell phone to somebody who's telling them what God told them, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
They're not paying attention. They rear end you, okay? Now, you're injured, you're collecting against that guy's insurance company, okay? It's not your insurance company you're collecting against, it's that guy's,
mm-hmm.
okay? So, as a consequence of that, that is a third-party insurance company. You understand what I'm saying?
No, who's the third-party insurance company?
The guy that hit you.
Yeah.
His insurance company is known as a third-party insurance company. All right? Because it's not yours.
But he hit me, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Well, he should be the first party.
Well, the first party's the guy that hit you, his insurance company. But that...
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay, you with me?
Yes.
Okay, under this plan... If that insurance company treats you like dirt, refuses to settle with you, refuses to negotiate with you in any kind of good faith, you can sue them.
Okay.
Under the plan as it's been put forward, it doesn't matter what they do to you, you can never sue them.
Well, you know I'm not for that.
And in what they're going to
and Joe Manchin's back in this?
Yeah, and what they're going to trade you is $8 a month. Per car on your insurance premiums until they decide to jack your rates back up.
Right.
And they won't even put that in writing. Something stink there?
Yeah, it stinks a whole bunch. You know, I mean, that's where I get into my arguments for regulation that Republicans hate.
Yeah.
And, you know, but insurance companies, you know, if I was the government, I would say, okay, who wants to bid on providing auto insurance for every driver in the United States of America?
Yeah.
You know, I want a flat rate. Everybody that drives pays it, and you cover all claims.
Yeah, and see, that's part of the con job.
Right.
Is that whether it's medical malpractice, homeowners, or anything else, they use little bitty pockets to determine their rates, you know, state by state, county
right.
by county.
Right, county by, well, yeah. You know.
When if they did it on a national level, insurance
There's
rates would
really
be
not
dramatically
that much
lower.
Of a risk, is there?
Right.
If you do it on a national level.
Right.
Well, that's the way it should be done.
Yeah.
But there's not enough profit.
No. Yeah. There's not enough of the holy green stuff.
There you go, buddy.
Yeah, I tell you.
There you go.
What they're proposing to replace the ability to sue an insurance company is a process where you could file a complaint with the insurance commissioner, who I'm sure will be a former insurance industry executive.
Most definitely.
There were only 128 third-party bad faiths in this state last year.
And how many of them even went to court?
Maybe half, a
yep.
quarter, a third.
And how many of them saw any sizable money?
One, maybe two.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, this is all a manufactured problem by the insurance industry to try to figure out a way.
And most of the people believe it.
Yeah.
Why?
Because there's a bunch of Republicans out there saying, and frivolous lawsuits.
Exactly. And the insurance companies back those people, so therefore they own the media, and they put out and tell you how, you know, oh, how terrible it is. And
yeah, sick.
We got to have more money.
Yeah, and you see the poor little insurance company with its nose pressed up against a frosty window pane, looking inside at all us consumers, living it up, holding on to all that money that they'd like to have. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My heart's breaking.
What was Richard Pryor, what preacher was he when he was he was the preacher of the Church of What's Happening Now or something.
Yeah.
Money, money, money.
Yeah, bring me the money.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You might wonder why I need all this money and causes all these things that you don't have, but you don't understand that because you don't have them.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that used to be a joke. Now there's, you know, now there's one of these clowns down in the South somewhere. One of these TV preachers has like three Rolls Royces.
Yeah. Oh, there's way more than one.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Oral Roberts built his own space needle in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Oh, it goes on. And you know, James Robinson. You know, James Robinson was mentioned in the Reverend Weed tapes. You know, I'm again, that God of irony I talk about from time to time,
mm-hmm.
I continue to be impressed with him. He is really powerful. When a preacher named Weed secretly tapes George W. Bonghit talking about getting high, Reverend Weed, that is,
okay.
Talking about George getting high.
Yes. That is rather ironic.
Oh, you know, I mean, you can't buy that.
I never really thought of that.
You're absolutely Reverend Weed. Right. Yeah, and Pastor Koch was in the next room.
You're absolutely right.
But yeah. These guys, my God, James Robinson, he talks about him in the tapes, Bush does. And that guy got his ministry bailed out by Reverend Moon. Yeah, I mean, it's incest. Oh, it's sickening incest.
Oh, yeah, it is. Well, it is.
Taylor's telling me we have to take the break, Wayne.
All right.
Take it easy.
Listen to Taylor.
All right.
Hey, have a good weekend.
All right, you too, man. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, break time, and then we'll do the last half hour. I'm going to be sad. It's the last half hour for 2 days. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head on.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The State Fire Marshal's Office has now been called in to investigate a fire in Fayette County. The fire broke out at a house on Rock Lick School Road in Minden just before 9 o'clock last night. Crews from the Oak Hill Fire Department responded with assistance from Fayetteville, but the house was a total loss. No one was at home at the time. There were no injuries. Cause of the fire is not known, but firefighters say it is definitely suspicious. Also, the State Fire Marshal's Office has ruled out arson as the cause of a fatal house fire in Richwood this week. The fire started at around 4 o'clock Tuesday morning at a house on Boggs Avenue. A body was then found in the charred remains at around 12 hours later. Kim O'Brien, a spokeswoman for the State Fire Marshal, says a preliminary investigation shows that the fire does not appear to be suspicious. The State Medical Examiner's Office has still not positively identified the body of the adult male victim. Since the start of 2005, 29 people have died in 24 fires in West Virginia alone. Beckley police were able to keep a man from committing suicide yesterday afternoon. Corporal William Ray and Patrolman Seneca Webb were dispatched to Kroger at the Beckley Crossing just before 4 o'clock. When they arrived, they found Norman Dodson of Sophia sitting on a dumpster behind Kroger, holding a utility knife to his throat and threatening to kill himself. Lieutenant Wes Bowden arrived, and the three officers talked to Dodson, while Patrolman Will Reynolds snuck behind him. Reynolds and Bowden grabbed his arms, and Webb took the knife from him. He says at no time did Dodson threaten violence toward the policeman. Dodson was then taken to Beckley Appalachian Regional. No one was injured in yesterday's incident. That's the news. The forecast for tonight, partly cloudy and cold. There's also a chance of some light snow showers late tonight with a low near 25. Tomorrow and Sunday both at this point look to be partly cloudy with temperatures in the upper 30s to around 40. There could be some serious weather conditions developing a winter storm or a winter storm watch on Sunday evening. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
This is America on the Road. Our owners of full-size pickup trucks, Royal
or are they just stubborn? Be right back with all the details. Stay tuned.
In today's information economy, the success of a business is measured in more than profits and margins. The new and highly valued asset of modern companies is information, and the task of protecting this asset against virus attacks and network intrusions has become a complex endeavor. IT departments must be able to remove vulnerabilities by instantly deploying vital security patches and configuration updates company-wide. They must minimize the risk of downtime by automatically adjusting backup policies for mission-critical servers and workstations. And they must rapidly recover critical systems and data after an attack. Today's successful business keeps its information secure and available to the people who need it. For more information about managing and securing an IT infrastructure for today's enterprises, visit itstrategycenter.com. IT Strategy Center is brought to you by Symantec.
This is Mike Hansen. According to a recent report from the Power Information Network, owners of full-size pickup trucks are now the most segment-loyal customers in the industry. This information comes from actual vehicle trade-in data, which indicates that owners of heavy-duty full-size pickup trucks and owners of light-duty full-size pickup trucks now rank first and second in segment loyalty. What that means is that more than one half of all full-size pickup truck owners are now trading for another one, and that's higher than all other automotive segments.
This is Jack Nerad. When it comes to heavy-duty full-size pickup owners, 63% will trade in their truck for a similar vehicle. The rate of loyalty among light-duty is 58%. Full-size pickup trucks have accounted for 15% of all new vehicle sales through the first 10 months of 2004. That's up 2 percentage points from the same period in 2002. The 2004 share of full-size pickup truck sales equates to more than one in every seven new vehicles sold. Why? Because they come in a wide variety of shapes and sizes, wheelbases, and bed lengths. There's a full-size pickup truck available to meet the needs of nearly every buyer, and prices range from $20,000 up to more than $50,000.
So keep on trucking, and we'll have more next time on America on the Road from CBS, Westwood One.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. About 21 minutes before 10 o'clock, just a little bit of time left in the evening. Back to the phones. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Well, thank you, Bob.
What's up?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That was such great button work, I didn't even hear you come in.
Oh, we're sneaky that way.
Well, let's go back to a movie before I ask you the big question. Let's go back to a movie, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Spencer Tracy. And there was that wonderful scene.
No, Gregory Peck.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, I'm thinking of a different movie then. Well, never mind.
No, well.
Let's forget that analogy.
Okay.
Let's get right on to Sun Myung Moon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let's do.
This guy underwrote that Robison character, that absolute homegrown, according to him and his wife, guy that encouraged George Bush to run for president in that wonderful homey moment.
Oh, yeah, and when Jerry Falwell's Liberty University was about to go down the toilet, he bailed that one out, too.
And all this came out in some of these tapes from the Reverend Weed.
No, well, the moon part didn't, but the James Robison part did, about how George wanted to, he wanted Reverend Robison to think well of him.
And he went to Tim LaHaye, and he went to various other people, to kiss the ring and bend the knee and say, look, whatever you guys need,
and
I'll
Dobson.
Be there.
Yep.
I'm sorry?
And Dobson.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's not a filthier, more corrupt person on this planet than the Reverend. And, oh, gosh, I should, somebody should slap me for even putting Rev in front of that Sun Myung Moon guy.
Right. He's disgusting. I mean, he really thinks he's Jesus.
He has so stated.
Yes.
He has so stated and proudly and told anybody that doesn't believe upon him, and yet the Bushites as Mr. Hightower likes to call them, the Bushistas, the Republicans, they're in debt with the guy that calls himself Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, listen, we've talked about it before, but it certainly bears repeating, David. There was a coronation ceremony in one of the congressional office buildings where all kinds of congressmen came over and placed a crown on Moon's head as king of the universe.
Mitch McConnell was right in the middle of it, as I recall.
Yes, he was. And I'm not
and,
sure.
And who is he married to?
That would be Elaine Chao, Secretary.
We have a winner.
Yeah, Secretary of Labor.
It's yeah. all in the family.
Oh, and we the night that we talked about the sacred prayer cloths that you have to use for the sexual purification ceremony. I mean, Reverend Moon is a real sick, twisted kinkmeister. It's funny, in most of the red states, he's probably committed more felonies than anybody can come up with. I mean, the Supreme Court last week never even touched the story. Upheld Alabama's ban on the sale of sex toys for anything except legitimate scientific, medical, or law enforcement purposes.
Cops just want to have fun.
I'm not going to go there. They might get me.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry. It was a punchline that might have been a straight line that would have gotten the whole show shut down.
Well, but seriously, I believe within one day of each other, the Supreme Court of the United States declared that Alabama could continue to ban the sale of sex toys for anything other than legitimate scientific, medical, or law enforcement purposes. And that one's just, never mind. But at the same time, they agreed to hear arguments on whether or not this good, godly, upstanding, righteous administration could compel the people of Oregon to die in misery like they think Jesus wants them to, the Assisted Suicide Act.
Having lived in the great state of Oregon for 19 years, that is one of the clearest examples that Big Brother is alive and will squash anything that resembles resistance to how they want to do their business. They've preached states' rights, and a phrase that scares me as a 60-year-old Southern male, but here a state votes in, not once but twice, held up by every court, and now then, bathed in Crisco Ashcroft, sets it in motion. Oh no, we've got to stop that. And you've said it exactly, you've said it so very correctly. You must believe in religion the way we do, or we will revise your laws. I mean, it's so frightening that invasion of the state.
But remember, Crisco John started it. Torture Boy is following through. A man who says that nothing short of organ failure and death constitutes torture. Everything else is A-OK, is following through to strike down a law. Oh, my God. Hypocrites, that's a good word. Murderous thugs. You know, these guys, again, it goes back to our buddy the Reverend Dickland. He says that this bunch of killers want people to suffer, and I don't get it. You know, I can understand it from the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, they're cradle to grave, you know? Every sperm is sacred, every life is sacred, and even if you're suffering terribly, you don't get to die of your own choosing. I mean, look at the Pope, laying there with a hole in his throat, periodically breathing with the aid of a machine, and he can't check out. And he's in misery. Okay, they seem to have an air of legitimacy about them. You know what I'm saying? There's not legitimacy, but consistency, if you will. But on the other hand, Torture Boy wants, whether you're Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Buddhist, Taoist, Hindu, atheist, you have to suffer in Bush world. And I despise that, David.
As do I, and I despise the idea that anyone is going to compel the laws of the land to comply with their version of a small part of a single religious family. That is the most frightening, disgusting thing that I've ever heard of in America.
And then the
short. Well, it's up there with McCarthy. I'm sorry. Gays are to be hated, persecuted, and dealt third-class citizenry unless they submit to their religious tenets.
Well,
we're a nation founded on religious freedom. We once were.
Yeah, now it reminds me that one of the most famous verses from the Quran says very clearly there is no compulsion in religion. And what that means, and I think that speaks for all religion, if there is compulsion in religion, it's no longer religion. It's compulsion. Makes very good sense to me.
It's compulsion first, compulsion second, and in some way, somewhere, maybe religion. But, just so disgusting.
And it gets better, though, David, because the nature of Torture Boy's assault on the Oregon statute is by way of threatening doctors and telling them, listen, if you prescribe drugs for people who are dying and want to go out and just go to sleep and not wake up, and they're suffering, we won't let you be doctors anymore, and we'll sick the DEA on you, and we'll put you in a cell with some dude named Bubba who's going to get married to you, never mind the gay marriage statute, okay? On the other hand, if, however, you want to take a shotgun and lean over it and take a deep breath and press both triggers, or one, depending on what you're using, and blow your brains all over the room, that's okay. It's only if you want to do it with some dignity, if you want to be surrounded by the people you love and who have loved you through, yea, verily, a marvelous lifetime that has been punctuated at the end by, say, horrible cancer eating your body alive, then, if you want to do it with some drugs, you can't. On the other hand, if you want to make a terrifying mess for your entire family, go ahead.
There are people that cannot stand the idea of disfiguring themselves in death.
Right.
There are people that do not want to go out with a gunshot. There are people that are immobilized by their medical condition. And this is what I'm going to tell you is right out of, it's factual in every respect. There's only been about 170 death with dignity people in the state of Oregon since that was voted in 1994. 170. And the federal government is making such a deal out of this?
Yeah. I mean, how much money is being spent on this litigation? How much money to tell the people of Oregon that Jesus wants you to suffer?
Well, there's enough money that's been spent that we could have saved the lives of 10 or 15,000 starving children in Iraq if we turned that money away from letting another 15 or 20 over the course of the calendar year die with dignity, ease, and not suffer for years. We could feed thousands in Iraq, but that's not the point of the exercise.
Well, no, and, you got to, well, hey, let's go back. There are some people that you just have to kill if you want to live in a civilized society. I wonder if Reverend Dickland thinks that civilized society means forcing people to suffer in the name of his religion.
Of course he does.
But
because he's healthy, he's wealthy, and he believes that he's wise.
But when that little bit of unrestrained growth somewhere down in his belly or his guts or his lungs, or his pancreas, or his kidneys, when that little bit of unrestrained progress takes hold, he'll be the first one crying, Lord, Lord, let me die.
Of course he will. And if he ever says that, you can count on Fox not reporting it.
Oh, yeah. And you can count on they'll tell you that he peacefully went to be with the Lord. And they won't tell you that somebody brought him the drugs illicitly that he and his people don't want people to have legally in the state of Oregon. You know, you're a red stater, David. Does anybody in the Tennessee legislature ever introduce a Death with Dignity Act? I don't think anybody's introduced one here in West Virginia, and yet it would be one of the most decent and humane pieces of legislation that could possibly be conceived.
If anyone has ever even even secondhand, heard descriptions of what it is to linger through all of that. I'm sorry. The Oregon statute, because I was living in Oregon when I was voted in the first time in 1994, and there was incredible hue and cry. We'll become the suicide capital of North America. Well, it didn't happen.
Nope.
It didn't happen. 170 people in the 10 ensuing years have taken advantage of that statute.
You know, we had a guy here in Beckley today, David. Apparently was drunk, intoxicated in some way or another, and held police at bay for a while by holding a knife at his throat, threatening to kill himself. They subdued him. You know, here's a guy who's allegedly suicidal, so, you know, what did they do? They put him on the ground and they threw the handcuffs to him. And I guess right now he's relaxing in one of our local overtaxed mental health facilities. You know, Hunter Thompson dusted himself off last weekend. And, you know, there's something, you know, and those two items are so wildly different. Thompson made a conscious choice. This guy was liquored up and desperate. And yet we've got a society, you know, I don't know, maybe this guy was even charged with a crime. You know, there are states, I'll bet you Tennessee and West Virginia are both among them, where attempted suicide is a crime. Not attempted murder, attempted suicide. It's a crime. Here's somebody who's so desperate they're willing to try to check off the planet any way they can. And our response is to, well, you know, you're a criminal now.
And that is so frightening. I mean, stop the person, counsel the person, work with the person. If someone at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning and they're not loaded and their life is such through illness and debilitation, they can say, I would like some help to move along. And the Oregon process has so many checks and balances. You can't just say, I'd like to kill myself. You can't do that. It takes a minimum of 60 days if you'll work at it.
Yeah, is Kevorkian still in prison?
I believe he is.
And Kenley is walking free. You know, I think Gary's right there. There are things that point to the fact that we have very real fundamental problems in this country that need to be resolved. They're not going to be... I'm stuttering again. If you get a chance, David... And it will take some time. You know, set it up to go overnight if it's going to be really time-consuming. Go to DailyKos, DailyKos.com, okay?
Okay.
Find the Frank Luntz memo, LUNTZ. It's called The Way Forward. And it's 160 pages in a zip file.
Oh, wow.
It is the strategy and tactics of the Republican Party. And the upshot of it is, look... We've been lying and cheating all along. It seems to be working. No sense in stopping now. These are it's things like we're going to talk about religious freedom, and that's what you're going to swallow, and what you're going to get in return is a tax cut for the wealthiest 1% of America. It is how to lie to the American people. I promise you, you will thank me for referring it to you if you take the time.
I'll do everything I can to get my hands on it because I know that we all need to know about those sorts of things because, number one, when Bush, he won't have a press conference. He won't submit himself to the American people. And if he does have a press conference, Studbuff and Gannon is going to ask him the questions. I'm sure he'll be at the next news conference under a different name.
I like to call Gannon gung-ho. Sorry, couldn't resist. I got to wedge one more call in, David. Thanks so much. Bye now.
Thank you.
Okay, and hey, Jack, you're head on. Haven't heard from you in a while. You doing all right? Yo, Jack.
Yeah.
You doing?
Bob, you know, I just want to tell people out there, stand up if you want to be counted. I'm going to tell you, stand up if you want to be counted. It's not right with the miners down there going through insurance with all the kids they got and their houses payments, car payments. Stand up if you want to be counted. And I gladly would tell y'all curious, I'm saying.
Well, I think that's great. We need a whole we need a whole bunch of
Jacks.
Yes,
we do. Yep,
we
they're there. They're there. We got to stand up and be counted.
That's the question.
That's all there is to it.
They're there, Jack. Where are we?
The miners are suffering, and there's no sense in it. Massey and this government of ours, I don't care if it's Democrat, Republican, down at Charleston, stand up and be counted. Let's go for it.
Absolutely, Jack. Thanks so much, and have a great weekend,
Thank you, sir.
Take care. All right, that's it. Where does the week go? Well, hopefully there will be another one waiting for us come Monday. God willing, the creek don't rise. The show tonight, of course, produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Sky, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. Harder workers you'll never meet. And, of course, a reminder, if you missed any of the show, you want to go back, listen to it again, maybe you called in, you want to go listen to what see what you sound like, go to whiterosesociety.org. Ben Birch archives the show for us every night, and we are very, very grateful for it. Until Monday, have a great weekend. Hey, Agnes! Wait a minute.